Good morning, Sower Nation. It is Saturday, July the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And have I told you how much I've been missing you? Well, I have, and I do, and we're back. And we're going to dive into, we're going to do the Mark Pizza Challenge, okay? You've been hearing about it. 16 days, 16 chapters. I'm going to go 16 days. We're going to hit one chapter a day with the writing. It's just kind of hit me to do it this way. Today's going to be Mark chapter 1. So for sure, I want you to read Mark chapter 1, preferably before I even get going into this entry today. But after will be fine too. Just got to do it. Okay, we're doing the Mark Pizza Challenge. Now, if we happen to miss a day, or I'm not going to miss a day, but if you miss a day, you can go back and start over. All right. So we begin with consecration. We're here. Jesus is here. I'm here. You're here. We're all over the place, gathered together at the feet of Jesus. He's going to open the Word of God and teach us. I'm just kind of the stage manager, the stage hand here. So wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today's entry is entitled, what are we calling it today? When revival becomes awakening, the age of the Spirit. Our text is Mark chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. Hear now the word of the Lord. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, actually, let me just go back and read verse 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Love verse 1. Verse 2, as it is written in the Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. All right, the word of the Lord. Now, are we tracking? Consider this. Isaiah? Yes. The Holy Spirit is weaving a very long, complex, and intricate plot line. It runs all the way from the original creation to the final consummation of the new creation. Think Adam to Abraham, Eve to Elijah, Isaac to Isaiah, Sarah to Solomon, and on we could go. The gospel comes in the way the Holy Spirit has invited us to enter this story. Through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, and made the invitation effective on the day of Pentecost. We must become lifelong students of this story, not as outside observers, but as inside players. This is an intergenerational story, and this is our chapter. Isaiah? Yes. The Word of God comes in the wilderness. Ever since the exile from Eden, that has been the story. No matter how much we try to dress it up and make ourselves at home with nice cars and fancy restaurants and highly edited Facebook lives, underneath it all is a fallen world. It often takes a stripping away of such accoutrements to realize this. Sometimes fasting can help prepare the way for such a realization. The Spirit of God creates the conditions that make for the prerequisite path of holy discontent. No matter how okay things may appear to be, they are not okay. Great awakenings happen when people begin to respond to the Spirit's movement to make a straight path, to do something different, to interrupt the patterns of so-called prosperity. So what is a baptism of repentance? It signals a clean slate, a fresh start, a new beginning, a second chance. It is a decisive marking of a moment that holds the possibility of a new movement in one's life. To repent, in the words of my friend Brian Russell, is to realign one's life with a bigger story, a better one. It means recalibration, and it leads to renewing. Renewing. Did you get that? For so many, this isn't the repentance that comes before deciding to follow Jesus, but the repentance that comes after such a decision. It's when holy discontent becomes an awareness of our own brokenness and how that has broken others. It happens when we start getting honest with ourselves, with God, and with a few others. That's what confession means. The Holy Spirit is not about creating cool environments for crafty religious experiences. The Holy Spirit creates corporate, collective, and even generational movements. Deeply personal? Yes. Profoundly communal? Yes. When enough of God's people reach the threshold of honesty about their holy discontent, movement begins to happen. Historians call it revival. Look at today's text. Already, only 5 verses in, people are coming in droves to hear the Word of God in the wilderness. Revival begins not so much with lost sinners as it begins with saved sinners whose salvation has grown cold. True revival, given a wide berth, always holds the possibility of spilling into the broader culture. And this is the stuff of awakenings. The Holy Spirit works through unlikely characters. At times, they can be quite unusual. From coats made of camel hair to a little Pentecostal craziness at times. Be discerning, but err on the side of making room for John the Baptist types. They often play a forerunning role. Only a person like them would. Or even could play. It may require some of us shedding some of our dignified religious sophistications if we are to play our roles. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God. Let's just sing that. Spirit of the living God. all afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me and melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen. What a prayer. What a song. Here's a journal prompt or two for you. I want you to reflect on a way the Holy Spirit has inspired repentance and realignment in your life. And how might that be happening now? You understand the assignment, don't you? So often repentance is a word that can get just associated with shame. You just need it just means behave, right? To a lot of people, behave. Just believe and behave. That's really not the gospel I'm going for. You know the gospel I'm going for? Behold and become. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and become his very likeness, become remade in his image. And the beautiful thing is you don't have to make that happen. You just got to turn your eyes upon him. He's been teaching me this little move lately. It's like I feel like he takes my chin and he just kind of grabs my chin. He's over here. I'm here. He reaches under, grabs my chin, and he just does this. He just tilts it a little to the right, or maybe it's a little to the left. It's not very far, but it makes all the difference. You see, so often we think of repentance, and it's true, metanoia. It literally means a 180-degree turn. And sometimes, really early on, that's what it takes, oftentimes, just a 180. But the further you go in following him, the more it's 1 degree or 2 degrees. Just a slight degree to the right, and there he is. He's like, you're just looking off. You need to realign. I'm right here. Get your eyes on me. Behold me. Don't even behold the thing so much that I just did. Just look at me, he's saying. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's repentance. And think about a 1 degree alignment. Like in 100 miles, you just take this line and you go this way, and you take this line and you go just a little bit off to that way where he's wanting you to go. By the time you're out of this room, you're in a different place. That's what repentance is. It's realignment. It's the word of God. It's hearing, seeing, following. Our ears hear, our eyes see, our hearts move. I think you're getting that. That's the calling invitation of Jesus. It's oftentimes subtle. The longer you've been following him, the more subtle it can be. It's why we got to lean in more. All right, we're going to sing today. Dad's going to be here. Actually, I don't think Dad is going to be here for this one today. How about we just sing that song that I was just singing, Turn Your Eyes. That's a great way to start, Mark, isn't it? It's in our hymnal. I'll come back around and get the page number. We'll put it in the notes and in the email. Let me just see if I can find it, Riley. I got my book out. Turn Your Eyes. You know this, but in case you don't. Number 600 670 670. We'll sing it through twice, and let's just have that sense, right? That little tilt. If you're not able to see me, I'm grabbing my chin and I'm just slightly tilting it to the right or to the left if you're listening to this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Just let the eyes of your heart open up. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. You know, isn't that what John the Baptist was all about? He's like, one is coming after me who is greater than me because he was before me. He says things like that. He says things like, I must decrease, he must increase. He says things like, I am not worthy to carry the thongs of his sandals. You see, John the Baptist, kind of like us, stagehands, we're pointing to the one who is coming. Jesus, he's the whole story. He's the beginning and the middle and the end. And the whole secret, I mean the simple secret, is just getting our gaze on him. That's why we read these gospels. That's why we stay close to these sources. Because we see more every time we walk through them. That's what we're doing here in Mark Pizza Challenge 1 to 16. We're following Jesus together. All right. It's time to get out on the fields. We're going to be doing Holy Spirit stories on the Saturdays coming up. We're going to be taking Sundays. We're going Chick-fil-A mode on Sundays. Closed. No chicken. No wake-up call. Go to church. And we'll be doing these entries 5 days a week. Lots of goodness to come. I'm just so delighted to be back and with you and following Jesus. So, for The Awakening, I'm J.D. Wall, and I'll see you on the field.